And that album, The Meeting Place, is on your record label, Positive Music, which we've alluded to time and again in this interview. The label has been home to artists like Pat Kelly, Tom Rotella, Greg Karukas, who I spoke to back in April, and Jay Rowe, who I spoke to in August.
And right. Jay and Greg are two phenomenal keyboard players, aren't they?
Yes, especially Jay.
He really is. I mean, Jay's been in my band for the better part of 10 years, and he's recorded, I've lost track of how many recordings we've done together. Things that I've produced, he's been on, too. He's kind of my right-hand man. Jay had a very big contribution on The Meeting Place. And Jay's actually, you know, as you alluded to, he's actually released CDs on Positive Music as well, which I've been very proud of.
Jaywalking was one of them.
Exactly. But having a label, it's a great thing, and as an artist, you know, and especially all this time, as an artist, it's given me the ability to completely control my creative output, to do what I think is right and what I should do. But it's also allowed me to control the creative side of how you market something and how you run a business. And in spite of what some people may think, there's a lot of creativity that goes into business decisions.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those people who thinks creativity stops with the easel or the instrument or acting or something. I think creativity just flows freely. You're either creative or you aren't at whatever it is you do. And so having the label has been a big responsibility. And, you know, there are times when I wish somebody else was doing it for me. But I actually had an experience where I did two of my albums with a label called Shonicky, a label that has Kelly Minucci and Kim Waters, and Chuck Loeb was with him for a while. Mm-hmm. And although my experience was certainly not a bad one, and it was financially a good experience, and they did all the work, I must say that, you know, I couldn't wait to get back to doing it the way that I knew it should be done, because, frankly, I just know how to write and record myself better than somebody else does, and I also know how to market it better. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of artists, I think, that taking on the responsibilities that a label entails, it is too much for them. They're really not geared that way. But for somebody like me, you know, I am, and most importantly, it gives me an artistic freedom that's absolute. Nobody told me with The Meeting Place how long anything should be. Nobody told me anything, you know. That what you hear when you get one of my CDs is, certainly with The Meeting Place, is one person's vision, not a committee telling people what they can record and can't record. And I think that that's really important in this day and age.
Yeah, that's the way the Mike Shamari show works. It's not
exactly.
It's not bound by, you know, smooth jazz radio station regulations. It's just,
exactly,
you know, you hear stuff on this show, including Lakes, for example, that you wouldn't, and Jay Rowe's stuff that you wouldn't hear on like the smooth jazz, any smooth jazz station for that
matter. Absolutely, that's exactly right. And the value of what you're doing is inherent in the fact that what you just said, you know, that you're putting out a quality that otherwise wouldn't have a home, you know. So I mean, the fact that I know you played Lakes last week, I think last Friday.
Yes, I did. Right. This is December 1st when we're recording this interview, and this is December 15th when it's airing.
Right.
Okay.
So so for me, you know, knowing that you played that, that's really cool to me, because I know that no matter how much airplay this album gets as a whole on smooth jazz radio around the country, that tune won't be played. And it's so great to know that it is being played by you, and because I'm so proud of that song, and I really want people to hear it.
Yes, and we played Lucky
week
in the Three of a Kind showcase of your.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
Yeah. That's obviously, I started the CD out with that song. I like it a lot, but I'm not sure yet what the first single is going to be. But we're really looking at Lucky seriously.
Well,
it's strong.
I don't go by singles on this show.
I know. You're looking at the whole. It's great.
Yes,
know.
it's like album oriented jazz, you could say.
Yeah, no, that's how it used to be everywhere, you know. And you know, back in 1990, nobody ever thought about it any other way. And you know, it's great you're doing that.
Yes. We're talking with Ken Navarro, folks, for those of you just tuning in, and where have you been all this time? You're on the Mike Shamari Show on web radio WCWP. I made a funny. I cracked myself up.
Hey, you got to do that.
Yes.
That's the thing when you're working on your own a lot. You got to make yourself laugh.
Yes, sometimes. Otherwise you'll go nuts.
I spent a lot of time the last couple months all by myself in a recording studio, and I know I would think, I would find myself every once in a while talking to myself, and I'd think, gee, I hope nobody hears me down here. They'll wonder what I'm doing.
So, I've been there. Well, Ken, we only have a couple of questions left, and this one is about your fans.
Oh, great.
How are they, and what are they like?
Well, after all these years of doing this, I seem to have two kinds of fans, both of which I love. One type is the people who own every single CD I've ever made, and I meet them all the time at shows. They'll come in with like 10 CD covers that they want me to sign, you know. And I get them, you know, like many of the people who pre-ordered the new CD before it was even finished are people like that. You know, they just really, really follow what you do. And I love that because there are artists that I'm like that with too. You know, Pat Metheny is an artist that I'm like that with. I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. I just go buy it when the day it comes out as soon as I can. And so, you know, that's extremely gratifying, and that's one of the things that comes from doing something and sticking with it, you know, for a long period of time. But because I've never been some massively huge jazz artist like a Kenny G or the Rippingtons or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. Or David Benoit.
Or David Benoit. I'm always getting new people who are discovering me for the first time. And with the last CD, Love Colored Soul, there was a song that got a ton of airplay around the country called You Are Everything. Mm-hmm. And I still get emails. I got one this morning, you know, from somebody going, You Are Everything is just the most amazing song. Do you have any other music? And it's like, do I have any other music?
Hello, you know? 16 yeah. CDs, well, now 17.
Yeah, but it's, you know, that's cool too because these are people that, one way or the other, that you know, maybe they're younger. Who knows why they weren't aware? It doesn't really matter. And I think the great thing about this type of music is that it, and I'd like to think that part of it is the warmth and the humanity that I try to infuse in my music. But you know, you really get a feeling that your music is making a difference to your fans, that they really take it in like food almost, you know, and that's a really good feeling because sometimes being a musician and being a recording artist feels kind of self-centered in that you really are focused very much on what you're hearing and conceiving in your head. And that feels like a kind of like a selfish act in a way. But when you see what other people take from it, then you realize that you really are contributing something. And that way, that's a long-winded answer to your question.
It's fine.
In that way, you know, I'd have to say I just feel great about the people who are fans of my music and what they give back to me, you know, from as a reaction to what the music that I give out to them.
There probably aren't that many fans my age, 25, that are big. That
you're
are
only 25?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Wow. No, you're very
I should have brought that up.
That's great.
God, yeah.
It's really nice to hear.
There aren't that many fans my age that are into contemporary jazz, and I'm the only person on this station at this college that I graduated from 2 years ago that are into this
great
kind of music.
Well, we need more of you, absolutely. I mean, and so much, you know, so much of this music could be appealing to younger people. It just needs to be presented right, and I think, you know, not to toot my own horn too much, but an album like The Meeting Place reaches out much more to a younger audience than a lot of the smooth jazz that can come off a little bit, you know, laid back. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
A little too laid back, if you ask
well,
me.
Well, for me, yeah, me too. You know, and I'm in my early 50s, and I'm not ready to retire. You know, know what I mean. I want it. I want stuff that energizes me.
Well, we're down to our last question. In all your years of touring, what are some moments that stand out?
Well, probably that's a really good question. Gosh, one moment that just comes immediately to mind, so it must be an important one, was a show I did in Philadelphia just a few years ago where we had like, it was an outdoor show. There were about, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 people. There was a very big show. There's actually water in Philadelphia. I don't know how familiar you or your listeners are, but there's actually water where a lake area where you could, we played right by.
Oh.
And as we were playing, the sun went down, and we went into our second to last song, which is a song from The River Flows, believe it or not, my very first record, called Try Again.
Oh, the very first track you recorded.
Exactly. And we do a much different version of it live now, and I actually go out into the audience and play walk right among them. And this was just an amazing experience this particular night. It usually is pretty interesting when I do this, but this night, I mean, it was just the warmth and the love that I was getting from the people, and the way that, and what it did to my playing was just one of these magical moments where, you know, I can't explain it exactly, except I felt so lucky to be a musician that night and to be able to communicate through my music and to have people get it.
Mm-hmm.
That was an extremely memorable night for me. I think another very memorable night, for kind of different reasons, was a night that I was a special guest with a great flautist out of Detroit whose name is Alexander Zonchik. And Alexander was doing, this was shortly after 9/11, and he was doing a benefit for the Red Cross, and he had brought in me as a special guest. He wanted to have Earl Klugh, but Earl Klugh couldn't do it. And it was me, Bob James, Jeff Lorber, and Kirk Whalum. We were the four special guests. And, I mean, it was just a sense of arriving and of accomplishment to be sharing the stage with Alexander and with Bob James and Kirk and Jeff Lorber, because these are, especially Bob James, I mean, somebody that I listened to since I was very young, and I couldn't believe I was sitting on stage playing Bob James's songs, you know. So that was a really memorable evening, too.
Yeah, and I interviewed Bob back in October, and I was, like, in awe of myself. I couldn't believe it. Bob James.
Yeah.
And there's a genre here at this station that plays urban music, you know, R&B, rap, hip-hop.
Sure.
So, and Bob has been sampled a lot by in that industry.
Right.
So many of the DJs are, like, were in awe of me for getting
right.
the interview.
Right, and he's such a wonderful guy. I mean, the ego is not there. I mean, he's a musician's musician. His interest is not in impressing or having people tell him how great he is. His interest is always in trying to go to the next place with music. And Joe Sample's another person like that mm-hmm. I've worked with some. And what always impresses me is their dedication to what they're doing, to the point where, I mean, with Bob, he's just a wonderful human being, and it really comes across in every way. And I'm sure when you interviewed him, you could feel that.
Yeah.
You know? But even when a musician gets intense about it, which some other, like Joe Sample's more like that, it's because they're just so dedicated to getting it right. That's very inspiring to be around, especially when you're on a stage with somebody like that, and that's how it was with Bob, for sure.
Well, Ken, it was a pleasure to talk to you and to meet you.
You too, Mike.
Yes.
Thanks for doing this,
yes,
and I hope we get to do it again sometime.
Yes, best of luck with The Meeting Place and continued success.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. This has been Ken Navarro here on The Mike Shamari Show. And up next, we will play a track from The Meeting Place. And that track is, did you hear that?
I did.